Was that what I thought it was?
It was a fart, yeah. I'm still not well from the Sharon. It's in me.
That sounded bad.
It could be wet. I think we just start with that. That's where I'm at today.
Hey guys, welcome to the Dan Knows Footy Podcast. You can find more of Dan Knows Footy on the website, Spotify, YouTube, and social. Great job. See ya.
Those HC kids, and I was like, where are they? Kick him harder. Kick him all harder. Punch him in the face. I'm bloody horizontally challenged, if you get what I mean. Oh, no. I got proud today. Should we say this is the line? If you don't hear the next bit, it's over the line. Okay, so if you don't hear the next bit, I've got a line. This is more past punt road. Your dibs in.
Welcome to Mad Monday. Round two is in the books. And I tell you what, we're walking around Melbourne. There's a lot of people up and about. The F1 was in town. The Pies lost again, which is great. You emceed. Let's not start with anything else other than hearing from you about your big night, because it was your big night.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It was. Look, until I did the first thing on screen, I wasn't enjoying myself. I was having a horrible time.
No good.
So nervous. Really? I hated it. So nervous.
Wow.
And then I did it, and then we were absolutely fine. We're off to the races from there.
Any feedback straight away from people? Did people see you out there?
Yeah, we had some great feedback. It's funny, isn't it, when all they shout is, Dan does footy. Hey, Ollie, Dan does footy. And all you go is...
Okay. Yeah, I'm also doing it with him.
Nice one.
I'm trying to do it with him as well.
Great. No, that was good. The only actual bit of feedback was I was too loud.
Too loud?
Yeah, like I do, like even here, I've got my microphone down.
It does feel like you yell a lot. Yeah.
Just got a lot of enthusiasm.
I can see that. Yeah, right. Yeah. Okay, did you stutter at all? Any stuttering or missing words?
The only thing that stuffed up was at the end, our microphone wasn't working for the post-game interview with Jack Sinclair.
Oh, no.
And they didn't take us off the screen.
So
we were just there. And so in the end, I just had to turn to him and go like...
This isn't working.
So like... What are you having for dinner tonight? Just general chat.
Just pretend.
Yeah.
Wow.
It was really uncomfortable. But other than that, it was seamless. It was such a good win. First Spuds game Saints have ever won as well. So I think like the powers that be were really happy with that.
It was meant to be. Everything came together at the right time. You were on fire. You won, obviously, which we'll speak about as well. It was a great game to watch, as all of Australia would have been just rejoicing when you guys got up and about, which we'll get into. But the F1 was in town. Geez, I'll tell you what, they are loud. I went... I want to start off with saying a thank you to the people who gave me access to go, the Quad Lock. Thank you so much. Love them. Very generous. Nicest people in the world. Honest thoughts on being at the F1. Can't see shit. And I don't think that matters where your seat is or where you're watching it from. They're so quick that you literally, you cannot see what's happening.
And would you consider where you were good seats? Like just in general? Like that.
Yeah.
But still couldn't see much.
Couldn't see anything.
Yeah, right.
You can't see anything. It's so quick and it's so people. And people, I got into it because it's here, but like as a viewing spectacle, it was like, this isn't, we want a bit of action here, you know, a bit of excitement from the crowd. And the crowd's very, you know, quiet and to themselves. Well, I wanted a bit of action. I wanted a bit of horse racing up and about, footy crowd, you know, 90,000 the G, a bit of life. And it just wasn't like that.
It makes me think about, like, you know, if you go watch, say, the marathon at the Olympics, imagine being at the starting line. Mm. And it's like, how good's this?
Yeah, exactly.
And then 2 seconds later,
it's like, that sucks.
They've left.
That's not good. It was a lot of that. But it was cool. It was cool. I did go on the Wednesday night before to Glamour on the Grid.
Okay.
I got taken as a handbag with Anna. Mm-hmm. Ran into someone who's banned from the show.
Okay, I'm looking at the list up there. Was it Wayne Carey?
No, Wayne wasn't there. He's off. He's not drinking for a while.
Margot, was she there?
No, she wasn't. Still wants me.
Tammy. It must have been Tammy.
Tammy.
Oh, no.
Tammy was there and we ran into each other. Her fiance came up to me and said, hey, man, just want to say I love what you're doing. Keep it up. And I was like, oh, I don't think you want me to keep it up at all, because your fiance is banned from the show because she... is a nasty person.
So that's going one of two ways. He's either, it's embarrassing because he doesn't listen and he's said that he does.
Yeah.
Or he does listen and he agrees with you.
He definitely doesn't listen. He doesn't know that I called Tammy. We're going to beep that out. He doesn't know that at all. But hey, maybe we're friends. We connected on a certain level of appreciation for what we're doing. I didn't obviously appreciate Tammy, but he, whatever. I don't know. She was there and she's still more banned now. Where's the glam of the grid? Now, do I care about this? Not really. Do I care about the aesthetics of it? A little bit. I saw some Collingwood boys there. Jack Gidevan got traded for going to the races before a game. The Pies boys, they were mingling. They were doing some things in Glamour of the Grid on the Wednesday before Thursday game. I don't really care that much. Does it have an effect on the game? I don't think so. But I'm just saying the aesthetic of this whole thing now with the Magpies, we're getting a bit, things are happening. We need to start pulling heads in, getting back on track here because I was like, oh, wow, that's big to come out to this event.
Yeah.
You're playing in like 20 hours.
With not drinking, I assume?
Not drinking, but like around.
Yeah.
I just think if we have a lot of questions about the Pies, what they're doing at the moment, we know that Fly had everyone on the same page last year. The Jack Gidevan thing happened. He got traded. Fly came out and said, listen, we want to make sure that we're doing all the right things to perform. Is that he's going out the night before a game, doing the right thing to perform. Mm-hmm. Fly, are we having the same convo as the other players at Glamour of the Grid? Are we saying, boys, is that the right thing that you want to do? I don't care. Once again, I don't give a rat's ass what you do before a game. Whatever help makes you play or makes you play well, go and do it. You could go to Tramp until 3 a.m., play well. Good, do it then. But I'm just saying, if you say one thing to us last year and then you let another thing happen the year after and you're not winning a game of footy, well, shit's going on.
Do you reckon he's a bit soft?
I think there's an underbelly.
Yeah.
I think there's an underbelly. It just got me thinking. I was like, okay, I wouldn't have expected you guys to be like, it's, you know, late-ish now. You got a game tomorrow. I would have thought you'd be at home.
Are you able to say who it was? Like, was it a secret?
No, not at all. I saw Pendles and Josh Dacos. Now, they both played really well.
Yeah.
But I just think that the whole Fly saying last year what happened, he didn't like it, and then this happening again, there's a lot of underswell at Collingwood at the moment. A lot. Tassie hit 150K members, 150,000 members. They're just stupid numbers now. So much money. Their printing machine for stickers would be working overtime. Absolutely overtime.
I saw a lot of comments on the video we posted about the Tassie Devils.
Yeah.
And people are going, that's easy enough if it's $10. Like, oh my, and I go, mate, think of the amount of families that are just giving away $10 for nothing.
True.
That's what it is.
True.
Like, I get that it's different to spending $100, $150 on a membership that, you know, traditional AFL clubs are sending out there. But people are buying packages for their entire family and getting virtually nothing in return.
Pretty much. And it was not an easy process. Like, putting your details into the form, then, where my credit card, I don't know where it is, getting my card. Like, it was a 5-minute process for me.
Didn't autofill?
Didn't autofill, so you had to go get your card. And like, here we go. So it wasn't just a straight give you $10 away, Apple Pay, off we go. It was a bit of a process to do it. It's good. Realistically, I think they'll get, what's the membership? $49 these days.
Yeah. For like three games, generally.
$49, probably. I honestly think they get around 40,000 members.
Yeah, easily.
Signed up, paid. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't see. It won't be 150, but 150 is still a huge amount of cash to be rolling in.
I've got a really strong suspicion, though, that they'll probably even have more just for the first year. Like, I think I probably will do that, and I live in Melbourne, and I'm a Saints member. So I think I probably will, and then once the, you know, that initial hit dies down, then the numbers might kind of equalise.
Yeah. So did you get one for the other head as well, or not just for your head? Because that's 2-for-1 every time. Imagine, if Dazzy do 2-for-1 deals on memberships, that'd be all time. Prove that you have two heads for the price of one. No, just kidding. We love Tassie. The streaker in Adelaide happened as well. Here's where I'm at with the streaker. If we're going to streak these days, let's get naked.
Mm-hmm.
Let's get the balls out. I want to see genuine nakedness run around at that oval. I want to see balls swinging around. I want to see your junk jangling. I don't want to see some guy in TNs with his phone out, throwing his cap in the air, running around a congestion. Let's get naked. Let's bring back getting naked.
It was very 2024, wasn't it?
It was also just like, just annoying.
Yeah.
Like, get off the fucking field, mate.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Ben Keyes had the opportunity to do the most illegal, legal thing ever on the footy field and just open up the illegal book and do take your pick on what you want to do.
Yeah.
A Toby Green kick to the face, a sling tackle, could have been anything, a Peter Wright action.
I was expecting sort of Andrew Simons.
Yeah, big human shoulder.
Yeah.
You'd just be so flat with it. So yeah. flat. Oh, that's a big fine. I think it's like 10 grand fine.
Yeah, what, 3-year ban from Adelaide Oval and a chat with the cops? I'm not really sure what.
Should be banned from streaking. I've been in jail once. That was fun.
Really? What for?
Oh, first draft year, I pissed down an alleyway and got thrown in the slammer.
Did you? No.
Yeah, down in there. Yeah. So annoying.
What, for the night?
Yeah, for the night. Not even like a cool thing to get locked up for. I remember I was actually outside Love Nightclub trying to get in. I was like, oh, I'll just do a whiz. Sure enough, policeman came to the alleyway. See you later. Old God was in jail for a night.
I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Did the club find out?
I've done time, man. Like, I know you look at me like he's pretty, you know, you look at me, you go, yeah, good looking, could be a model, looks a bit like Tom Hardy and Ryan Gosling put together. But, man, once you've been in the clink like I have, I've seen some shit. I have seen some shit. I haven't been the same since I came out.
What did you see?
What'd I see? I had a shower.
Did you? That's risky.
I did drop the soap.
Are you okay?
It's all coming back to me. I was used and abused in that shower cell. Like a toy for them. I've never been the same. Anyway, PTSD came back to me. Peter Wright, reckon Peter Wright's going to choose Noosa or Bali? Which one's easier?
Well, for 3 or 4 weeks.
Tell everyone what just happened. Tell everyone what just happened. Ollie's bong just rolled out of his pocket. I swear to God. You heard that clink? Everyone heard that clink?
It did not. I don't help myself.
Noosa doesn't help you at all. Noosa or Bali?
Look, I think if he's got a three or four week holiday, I'd just go Noosa. Stay a little closer. I don't think that's long enough to go to a different country.
No, it's not. I mean, it's only 6 hours. I looked at it and I said, it's gone straight to the tribunal, so it's going to be 3.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be 3 minimum. But, I don't know. They just got caught in a bad position. He got caught in a really bad spot. And I know what it's like when the ball comes in, player comes across you. You literally have, as everyone says, a split second decision to be like, am I going ball here or am I covering up and just protecting myself? The fact that umpire didn't even call it a free, there's that layer of complexity on it. Let's give the umpire 4 weeks for not being able to make a call on it. Let's suspend him as well. I reckon if something happens like that in the AFL where you don't call a free kick and the AFL says, well, hold on, that goes to the tribunal, you get the same sentence as Peter Wright did.
Yeah.
For not being as good as what you should have been out there.
I think it's also a really, really great example of a couple of weeks ago we were talking about, you know, introducing the rule of sending a player off. He probably would have been sent off you would have thought, but I don't think he would have deserved it.
He would have. Lee Matthews actually came out and said that he deserved to be sent off. It's weird that Lee said that because he's the only player in AFL, VFL history to have an on-field incident taken to a Victorian court.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Victorian police charged him with assault causing grievous bodily harm when he broke the jaw of another player. I mean, Lee, that's just his calm. The send-off rule. It won't come in this year. It's too late for the send-off rule to come in this year.
Oh, yeah.
Next year. Next year is as much of a sure thing as anything.
I think, what we saw last week, that the VFL are trialling ball tracking technology starting this weekend.
Mm.
So I feel like they could maybe trial it.
So I send-off rule, yeah. I think it makes sense now. There's too much happening.
Yeah.
I don't like it. It's hard because the DNA of our game, the reason why we all love the game growing up or playing it is that you could – the physical nature of the game was there. Mm-hmm. You could have these big hits that everyone, ooh, and there was the courage to go back and the bravery of not knowing what's coming there and getting cleaned up, or bravery of going back and taking a mark and defending or doing that act. We've now ripped it out of the AFL.
Mm-hmm.
There's none of that anymore. The AFL doesn't even know how to call these things anymore and what decisions they want to make on certain acts. We have some things that you think are really bad and people get off, Maynard, for instance, and you have these acts like Peter Wright, where people go, well, maybe that's 4 weeks, or maybe that's 2 weeks, or maybe that's no weeks.
Mm.
We've just lost all of what the game is supposed to be about and what makes it great, which is so hard as a spectator because I look at that and my first thing was like, pretty bad, as in bad, the action caused that injury. But then I was like, well, if you take that out of the game, we may as well play chess.
Mm.
Like, that's what makes our game so great and unique around the world. If you pull that out, then we don't have much left.
Yeah.
Really. I don't know. He'll get 3 weeks.
Yeah.
Only because the AFL has to come down on these things. But as a big man playing, when I did play, we're taught that if someone sits in the hole in front of you and is coming back, you make sure that they never sit in that hole all game again. If you get an opportunity to line them up with a knee in the rib, just go through them, you do it. And now we're going to say, with this action, the AFL is going to say, sit in the hole, players, because we'll look after you.
Yeah.
That's gone. Back in the day, you sat in the hole, big boys would say, you are not sitting in that hole again all day because I know what's going to happen. You're going to sit in front of me, you're going to block my leading lanes, you're going to intercept. I'll make sure that you'll question yourself when you're in the air. Your hands are above your head. I'll make sure that you question every decision. Mm-hmm. That's not going to happen anymore. That person in the hole gets looked after.
Yeah, that's a great point.
It's fucking bullshit is what it is. I should be Peter Wright's lawyer. Hey, you know I'm good at being a lawyer.
You'll get anyone
Peter
off.
Peter Wright, if you need a lawyer, Eston, if you need a lawyer, let me know. I am very good at getting people off.
Dan Gorringe will get you off.
Hey, suspension, no win, no fee. That's me.
Yeah.
I get everyone off. Toby Green is now in hot water again for breaking the Toby Green rule. So if you didn't see it, because it was in the graveyard shift, and you can be forgiven for being asleep during this game. Even if it was a little bit late, but the game itself was dead at this point. The AFL brought in the Toby Green rule when he put his foot into Luke Dowhouse's face all these years ago. Toby Green's gone and broken his own rule. He's done it again yesterday. So he took a mark, put his studs up, and he put his boot into someone's chest. Wasn't as bad as the Luke Dowhouse one, but the AFL, you can't bring in a rule for a player and then the player breaks his own rule and say, actually, all good. It's a week.
Yeah.
It's a week.
I think it's kind of a baller move, though, to break a rule that you created, in a sense.
It's pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
It's very cool, yeah, to break your own rule.
To go,
oh, well.
That's what you brought
just,
it in for.
It just, and I hate it as well. It's just a week. It has to be. You can't bring in the rule and be like, nah, actually.
See, isn't it frustrating as well? Because that is totally different and probably way more premeditated than Peter Wright's incident.
Way more.
Because when you also, we should have mentioned, when you look at the Peter Wright incident in slow motion, his eyes are on the ball 99% of that time.
Mm-hmm.
And then the moment that he sees a player coming in to his periphery, that's where contact's made, essentially.
It's like he went ball, saw Harry come across late and went cover up.
Yeah.
And then got Harry in the worst spot.
Whereas a kick to the chest.
You know what you're doing with a kick to the chest.
It's a bit.
So Toby's going to have to answer that one. I think he gets a week just because, as we said, you can't bring a rule in for someone and then say, actually, the rule that we brought into you, we're going to make sure it doesn't apply to you now. It doesn't work. Let's get in the round of footy. Thursday night's game. We said that no team had this century had gone on to win the premiership after losing the first two games this season. No team ever in the history of this sport has ever won a flag after going 0-3. Now staring down the barrel of 0-4 going to Brizzy next week, the Pies, the hangover is going on and on and on and on, and someone make it stop for Pies fans. The vibes are an all-time low, and the Saints just wanted it more. They just wanted it more. Last week we said the Pies are in damage control. They've lost all control of this thing at the moment. It is all over the shop. We've got shrapnel everywhere. But full credit to the Saints, right on the back foot early. Mason Wood goes back with the flight, courage, stops the game for a little bit. And from there, they just bullied the Pies in the first quarter especially. Then the second quarter, we went, okay, Pies are getting their mojo back a bit here. And they were looking like what the Pies look like normally. Then they just got into this scrappy, you were there, you saw it, just scrappy, shitty missing handballs, not linking up, this inability to just make simple things happen. Darcy Moore at full back, handball to Brad Hill straight away. Brad Hill kicks a goal, and from there it just got worse and worse. We said last week, if you are not watching Wanganeen Miller play, you are living under a rock. Well, he on the big stage said, you can't fucking miss me right now. His kicking's amazing. He might be the best kick in the AFL at the moment.
Yeah.
And just fearless. To rip 45s with not really a license on some of those kicks to rip 45, 4v1s. If that ball gets turned over, it's a goal. Doesn't give a fuck where the defense is. If he sees a target, he's hitting it. The whole team at the moment, I don't know if you see it as a Saints fan more, but I see it and go, you guys don't care about the consequences of your kicks. You're just going to rip 45s and hit targets because you're allergic to going long down the line. Is mm-hmm. that is this a big change this year for them?
I don't know if it's a big change. It feels like possibly they've just not perfected their craft, but they're better. They're a little bit more mature and they're probably more prepared to trust their instincts. And with Nzaia, he is one of those almost supernatural players where it feels like time actually slows down.
Crazy.
You know when you watch just – they don't come around too often.
I know.
But I remember growing up and I, as a Saints fan, the first person I saw that was like that was Del Santo, where I felt like the game was running at normal speed and then he'd have the ball and would just have all the time in the world to go, okay, man, maybe not you.
I'm going to pick off here.
Who have I got? Yeah, I'm going to go you and I'll just ping that ball perfectly to him.
It's a great point.
And Naz is like that.
It's a great point. I cannot express to you guys enough how fucking little time you have out there to make the decisions that he's making right now. Like, as you said, he's slowing the game down, but that decision for him to rip a 45 to a 3v1 happens like that.
Mm-hmm.
And just you don't think when you make the decisions, you just kick. That's how quick he's making everything happen out there. Even though he's making it feel like everything's slowing down. The only question I have for the Saints is when a team stops those kicks and you can't rip 45s without any fear of what's going to happen after it, how do we go when you're going back down the line? That's what I want to know. When you can't do, because your game plan right now is to just rip whatever.
Mm-hmm.
What happens when you start going down the line? That's the only question I have, which until someone defends it, don't need an answer.
Yeah.
So I don't know, but we'll see what happens when that happens. Windhager, just a dog mentality. I didn't know he had that in him. I knew he existed, but I didn't know he had that. What a gun.
Yeah, he's a gun. And I'm looking at the run sheet now. There's also one name that's not on there that I think deserved to mention. That's Cooper Sharman.
Yeah, he took some good marks. He was very good. Yeah, he's very good. Stood up when it needed. Yeah. Just taking the pressure off the valve marks as well.
Yeah.
Wings, forward, just getting shots on goal. He could have converted a little bit better, but he took the pressure off when he needed to.
Yeah, absolutely. Big. There's some really exciting talent there.
Yeah, it is. Jack Higgins kicked the sealer from Fed Square, which was just so out of bounds. If we're being completely honest, you won't say it, will you?
No.
You were probably in a good spot, actually.
I was
in that
a
race.
Great spot. I was right in that pocket.
Yeah, out of bounds?
Yeah, but the only thing I would say, and I'm not justifying it too much, but I don't think it was so far out of bounds that this is like justified the, you know, it's the only reason that the ball went in was because of the angle. Like,
you got to kick it from there.
Yeah, it was pretty. It's almost
pretty
more
good.
Impressive.
It was pretty good. Well, Fly said, someone asked Fly after the game, Higgins' goal, in or out. And he said, well, Cameron did the same thing to us last year, so we're not going to use that as any excuse.
Yeah.
If he kicks it from there, it's too good. Trailer Frampton was very good. Trailer was very good. Billy Frampton, I'm talking about. He was probably his best game as a Pie. And now the Pies go down to Brizzy, or up to Brizzy, and stare down 0-4, which is just going to happen, I think.
Yeah, off a rested Brisbane.
Rested Brisbane. Right. You know, Fagsby winding him up as well. The claws are out, sharpening their claws and their viciousness and their teeth to just attack the Magpies. Your take here, your review from what you saw on Thursday night. Reels golf journey. Collingwood are on eternal hangover. That's true. Bock party. Mitch Owens fend off on Dacos got me hard. Do you remember that?
Oh, yeah.
It was good. I don't remember it. Fletcher MCF. Collingwood needs to wake the fuck up. That's true. Adam Harris. Pies need to eat a football. Highly don't recommend any football because I'm still trying to digest that thing. Good gravy, 0-5. Collingwood fans need to stop telling everyone they won the grand final every time they lose. It's a fair point. I mean, it is true you did win the grand final, but like we're in the present right now. Let's talk about what's happening where we are.
I think they've got 1 week left before.
Yeah. Okay, let's say that. Guys, you have one more this round. You have one more grand final excuse in you.
Yeah.
Like winning the flag. That's your last one, and then we move on. You can't use it anymore. Adelaide versus Geelong on the Friday night. Adelaide, what are you doing? They're old as shit. We can't keep saying enough. They are old, and you got just railed by them. If you can't win at home and you can't win away from home, it makes it hard to play finals because you can't win anywhere. They're your two options. Either you win at home or you win away, and you can't do both at the moment. You're young. You're hot, but the old dogs just came out, the old cats came out and just smacked them around and pounded you. To their credit, they did come back, but then Tom Hawkins said, no, I'm 36. I'm not playing these fucking games with these young kids anymore.
Yeah.
I'll take the game off you. The streaker, we spoke about the streaker, worst streaker ever. Geelong still have some tricks in them. They're still very, very good. Maybe I, or maybe we did, underestimate how good Geelong are still.
Yeah, and I probably, as someone who's never played at any elite level of anything, probably underestimated just because they're slightly older doesn't mean they're not fit and
yeah,
can bounce
true.
Back from a game. Like, you know, they're still elite,
they're good.
You know.
They are good. I just, maybe, yeah, I think we got on the trap. We went through the ages a couple of weeks ago with our 33, 34s, yeah. And I thought that maybe that's going to correlate to them being sore and slow, but no. None
possibly
of that's happening.
As the season goes on, I think that's a legitimate factor, but, you know.
Yeah, true. Sag your balls.
Excuse me?
Sag your balls.
Saggier.
Mm.
Sorry.
I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but.
It's true.
It's true, though, as you get older. Drenfrey 31, made Nick's extension far too premature and will look embarrassing at the season's end. Okay. Finnebatis. Cats looking pretty good, but can't wait for a real test. That is true. Who they play? They played who before again? They played the Dogs. They
Crows.
Played Saints. Sorry, they played Saints last week.
Yeah.
Geelong Saints. And then played Adelaide. Yeah, they'll get a test. They'll get a test soon. Then we'll know where they're really at. Riley Parker, the Crows are entitled. Too much talent, not enough hard work.
The Crows are totally entitled. I think they've...
Wow, that's big from you behind the mic.
100%. I'll say it. I've said it once. No, well, more than once.
Is it the Curries?
No, because that's for Port as well.
True.
No, but I remember living in Adelaide for 4 years. I cannot remember what the context of what I'm about to say was, but I remember Adelaide were right down the bottom of the ladder. Port were having an unbelievable season.
Mm.
Adelaide got, you know, they might have won, but by a goal against, you know, a team in and around their area on the ladder. And Port were, you know, beat someone incredible on a Friday night. And the newspapers the next day were all over the Crows. All about the Crows.
The Tizer.
They're so entitled. Doesn't matter if they're good, they're bad. It's all about the Crows.
Yeah.
And like, it shits me.
That's Michelangelo Rucci's fault.
That's
he needs
true.
To grow up a bit. He needs to be a bit more less Crows bias.
Yeah.
And just give someone
and
else
less
a chance.
Names.
Less names.
Less names.
Yeah, true.
Selfish.
I agree with you. North Freo, I said this game is going to be a danger game for Freo because North just don't give a damn about what's down back. It's like, let's take the rearview mirror out of the car because our future's going forward. And they went forward for the first half aggressively and rattled them early. Just, Freo had their hands down and North were just landing some jabs on the face. But down by 6 goals in the second, North were, then put 9 on in a row and it was all over from there. But North are going to jump some teams. They will jump some teams, North. They just keep saying it. They don't care about their backline at all. It's like it doesn't exist for them. Let's just make the midfield competitive. Get it forward. We've got some studs up there. We've got Larky. We've got Zerha. We've got the world's strongest man in Paul Curtis up there. Let's just let them do their thing. They're talented. We can see what they're doing there. Unlike a West Coast where I have no idea what the fuck is going on out West. I can't even see what they're making out there. I can see what Clarko has in the bowl here. I can see what cake's being built. So let's just... Two more seasons, let North bake this cake, and they'll start taking a few swings at teams. Caleb Sarong is a stud, had 35 touches again. Luke Jackson keeps giving Ruckman the business. He gave Big O, our guy, the business last week and then said to Tristan Zeri with his ex, no thank you, had 24 and 2 goals. Now Freo get to get Adelaide back in Freo. We know Adelaide hate flying. That's a big trip. Freo, again, another team that we got totally wrong or I got totally wrong. They fooled me. They had the wool over my eyes. I said, this team is no good. I don't think they'll fire a shot. And they fired 2 shots in the first 2 rounds. And now they get Adelaide again. I just didn't believe in them. Mm. And now I have to semi-believe in what they're doing.
I suppose numbers-wise, you've got no choice. Like,
I just have to... Well, do I think that they can compete for a finals win? I don't think they're there yet. But they're impressive. I can only go what they're giving me right now. And it's impressive. It's good. But we'll see. Hawthorn v Melbourne. And I'm tired of it, guys. I'm tired of the media piling on. And I'm sick of everyone being negative around Melbourne. It's disrespectful. All Goody do and all Track does is win games. That's all they're good at. And we just forgot, maybe because of the circus of Clary, how good this team actually is. This is a serious outfit. All they do is win. They're in every game. And if they're not in every game, they don't really get blown out. It's the best midfield in the competition by an absolute mile. And I'm putting them up there with the flag contenders. They can win this thing. They can. Lever and May going out doesn't help things. Lever got absolutely, May got crunched by Marbiol. That looked bad. So I think it's broken ribs. Yep. Don't know. Made that up right now. But it's going to be a bad year for Hawks. They look... The possibility of winning 3 or 4 games for them is very real. They don't look like firing a shot this year. I can't see where they have a winner.
No, well, at the moment, they would definitely fall in that category of what are you cooking?
Yeah.
You know, they've clearly got a couple of decent, you know, ingredients that you could include in a really nice dish.
True.
But that's great, cool. You know.
They have a nice Mitch Lewis.
Very
nice. That's a nice bit of seasoning there.
Yeah.
They have...
Well, yeah, there you go. Look, I think when Chad Wingard's, you know, not injured and doing well, like
that's a nice ingredient.
That's a nice ingredient.
Yeah. They have Frost.
Yep.
Yeah. That's something. They have the Wizard. They keep the goal. You put the Wiz in the bowl. Other than that, yeah, it's really something going on there at Hawthorn. But we know they're banged up. I just don't know. They're just not even like that was even competitive on the weekend.
No.
That was just a real rollover job.
Yeah.
You know, rollover. It was like sex with your partner after 10 years. Rollover.
After 10 years?
After like 3 days.
Yeah, there you go.
Of being together. It's like rollover, let's just get this business over with.
Yeah.
That's what that game was like, where Melbourne said to Hawthorn, just rollover, let's get it over with.
Yeah. No one wants to be here.
No one wants to be. We don't want to be there. Let's just get it over and done with, you know. I've got to go somewhere else. I want to go to the pub. Rah, rah. It was just a quick, thank you, ma'am. Sydney-Essendon, this game had some real venom in it. And I love venom and I love Batley calling Essendon fake tough guys.
Yeah.
Just absurd behavior and didn't hold back. And the honesty was so good, but he was saying off ball hits, fake tough guys. As I said, Draper was hitting people behind the ball. It's all a facade. Be tough when the footy's there to be won. Didn't like it and called him out. And for me, I think as a human, and I'll relate it back to a team, you have to realize what you actually are. I think that I'm a big, scary, tough guy. But what I am really is all bark. And if something actually went down in a fight, I'd be on my ass quicker than anything.
Mm-hmm.
Essendon, you're not that team. Like, you're just not that team. That's a rat up there in the roof somewhere. I think we got a rat in here. You're not that team. You're not that tough team. You don't need that team. You're actually too good to try and act like a tough team.
Yeah.
A North can be like that, or a Hawthorn can get a bit of venom in him and try and be that tough guy, but you're actually a decent team and don't need to do it. Heaney remains the hottest player in the competition and the best player in the competition at the moment. He is on fire, and Sydney just don't care. They don't care who you are. They don't care where you've come from. They don't care what you're doing. They're going to take care of you. They're on fire. Xav Icy, Essendon to have a good midfield and there's shit everywhere else. That's pretty good. That is pretty good. But Essendon are going to be okay. I said the game's going to be closer than it was. Essendon are going to be still okay. I think it's going to be hard to beat Sydney up there all year.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I think also, just to Papley's comments, one thing I really liked about him calling them out is I think it's less about the fact that Essendon are a good team so they don't have to be bullies. I think he's also just saying, no, I just don't think you've got it in you to do it well.
Yeah. It's just like, yeah. It's like trust me, I do.
I'm an idiot.
I do.
Like,
yeah.
I'll come at you.
Yeah. I know what this takes, and I don't think you've got eyes good
on
you.
You're a bit too nice.
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I feel like. I haven't seen Essendon do that since Lloydie went through them, through Hawthorn. Like, it's just not you guys.
Yeah.
You don't have that in you. You don't have that dog in you like that. The Dogs in the Suns in Ballarat. Dogs gave them the business. And as someone who's obligated to go for the Suns, I'm a little bit flat with you guys. You did so much well in the first two rounds. You're too good and too far into your development to be getting done by 50 points still.
Mm-hmm.
Like those days, we're done with that, you know? And I'm going to go all the way in. No, I'm not going to go all the way in. I'm going to put the tip in and say that the wheels could come off very quickly here for the Suns. 2-1, got the Giants next up, 2-2. And then this whole thing, this cake that Dimmer's cooking looks a little bit different than what it did in the first two rounds. The Bont might be the greatest player ever to not win a Brownlow. He is such a stud that we've just become immune to what he's doing week to week. Like, it's crazy how good he is, but he's just, I feel like he's not going to win a Brownlow, unfortunately.
Down to what do you think? Just like, no one's really taking points off him at the Dogs, so he's got that in his favour.
I don't think they win enough games ever.
Yeah.
You know? I don't think they're ever going to be, like, they're not even a shoo-in for finals this year.
That's true.
And the Brownlow is very much, you have to win games. Like, a lot has to go right for you with your team to win a Brownlow.
Yeah, it's true. How many times do people really get 3 points if you lose?
Mate, Gary did it in the Suns. That's true. And that was like, whoa, that was crazy. But again, we were all like 17 years old trying to grow pubes. We had like other worries on our minds than touching the footy. I had to go to Universal and get my stringlets. There was a lot happening. We were drinking maggot slushies. So he did it then. But I feel like the Bond is in a team where they just don't compete consistently enough where he'll get the votes to do it.
Yeah.
Which is a shame because he's a stud. They look better without Lob. We've been calling for them to change it up. Waitman kicked six. Jamal Ugahagen was more free. Nort's had more space. So it looked better aesthetically from the outside looking in. What you guys said, Brock Beers, Lingers Ward. Gold Coast is still the same as when Dan left. I mean, it's not a bad argument.
Well, hang on. Let's dissect that. They're not... the same as when you left.
Mm. I think I left them in a better position, to be honest with you.
Maybe that's a compliment. Or
when I was there, we almost made finals.
Well,
if Gaz didn't throw his shoulder out, we would have made some finals. So
there you go.
Maybe they're worse. Lee James, Gold Coast need to rebrand colours and logo. Hmm. I haven't thought about it like that, but hey, potentially. It's your review. Richmond and Port, mate, they're competing with the F1 time and Port are doing what they do best at the moment this time of the year. Look like premiership favourites in March. It's just crazy. They controlled the game. Richmond, we said that they. Someone told us, a source told us that this team isn't that good. Don't let scoreboard dictate your position on them and how you feel about them this year. They are not as good as what you think. Lynch, I pleaded, Adam. And Adam, if you're listening right now, I pleaded. I was on my knees. I was begging you to not play Lynchy. And look what you've done. You've just run him into the ground at the moment. He doesn't look physically there at the moment. And I really wanted you not to do that, but you've thrown the deep end and now his floaties are bursting. Butters and Rosie are dynamite. They are the best. Oh, do I say best 1-2 or not? They're up there with the best 1-2 punch in the AFL. Mm. And they have a three-headed monster down back now, Paul Adelaide, and a three-headed beast up forward. Could be... No, I'm not making that call on them. I thought I was going to say it could be their year this year, but it's too early to say that on them. I don't rate them enough yet. Boakey, 350 games. I remember my phone call to Boakey when I was trying to get recruited to him. I was a young man.
You
who
called
thought,
him?
No, he called me because Kenny made him call me.
Sure.
To try and get me over the line. Whatever, it was a big deal. Yeah. And I just think that maybe I could have been out there with him, you know. Me and Boakey could have been teammates slapping it up, so... Boakey, congrats to you, mate. Sorry I couldn't be out there with you. I decided to stay at the Suns instead.
What did he say? What did he get so wrong on the phone call that made you not want to go?
Too much pressure.
Yeah, sure.
He was like, mate, you have to turn this thing around. I was like, that is not me. Like, yeah. You guys have still got tarps on the seats. I do not want to be out of that. I'm very much content playing in the NEFL here. West Coast and Giants, last game of the round. Jumping in the coffin and getting lowered in the graveyard in Perth. And it was an absolute lowering from the Giants to the Eagles. Real tough one out there for the Giants. Like yesterday, real tough one. The Giants keep rolling. The first time they've started 3-0. And Tom Green just, he's doing some things out here. His last three games, opening round, 30 touches and a goal. Round one, 37 and a goal. Last night, round two, 34 touches. Just going off would be winning the Brownlow right now. It's again, a week of underestimating. And now we're trying to figure, we're slowly figuring out what everyone is this year, I think. 3 weeks for most teams or some teams into it, but this Giants midfield is still very, very, very good. Kelly, Canelio, Green, Kieran Briggs is a good ruckman. Giants-Sydney grand final would be fucking horrible.
Oh, imagine that.
The Giants-Sydney grand final would be just a real inconvenience to everyone. It would just be like pulling teeth out. You'd have to move to the SCG.
Yeah, agreed.
As a Melbourne, you'd say, yep. MCG has the contract, but you'd say, we don't want a part of this year. You guys have it. You guys deserve it if you can get it, but we don't really want this thing this year. Eagles. How do I be nice to Eagles here? Because I want to be nice to them, but fuck, they're making it hard. It's so boring and frustrating to watch. And I'm not an Eagles fan. It's frustrating that when I see you in the fixture, I avoid your games. because I just know exactly what I'm getting. I'm getting 10 minutes of great effort, mm-hmm. and then you just put the cue in the rack. I couldn't even imagine being a West Coast fan. I am pleading with you guys. I relate to you guys being a Carlton fan. I am so sorry for what you're going through right now. It must suck. And hang in there. It's definitely not going to get better for like a lot of years, but just stay strong, West Coast fans. Harley Reid had 13 handballs. He's too good to be handballing him. Adam Sims, you got a Ferrari, mate. Just let him go. Stop putting him in the mud. Let him off halfback and say, mate, I want you just to kick the fucking football and take everyone on. He's too good to handball.
I tell you what, he had a great moment on the wing, though. Do you remember that sort of?
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah.
Great moment. Yeah, and then got cleaned up by someone.
I tell you what, though, like all jokes aside, that seems to be the only way that a lot of teams are making their presence felt around him.
True.
It's just sort of borderline taking him out.
Yeah.
So
he's too good. But the big thing about West Coast at the moment is that everywhere I look around the ground, I don't see one thing that I'm like, that's good, except for Harley. Like, there's nothing there that I go, that's a positive, like, tick, yep, that's a winner. Oh, that's a winner over there on the ground. I look at this thing and I go, what the fuck is this thing? Like, Harley Reid, get games into him, pump him up. But everything else, I'm like, no. Their offense has no firepower up forward. Oscar Allen doesn't help. And then I was like, okay, then I'll go digging. Let's see who the defensive backline coach is. Guess what? They don't have a backline coach.
You are kidding.
West Coast don't have a backline coach. They have a development coach who works with backs, but they don't have a dedicated backline coach. No shit. And no, they can't defend fucking anything at the moment because they have no one coaching him. Look on their website. They don't have a coach. So let's start with getting a backline coach, West Coast, and then maybe we could build from there. Here I am being hard on you, but how can I be hard on you when you don't have a backline coach?
Like, for a team with so much money as well.
No backline coach. No, they have a development coach who works with backs.
So what would, in your experience, a development coach means what?
Someone who works with the first or second year players.
Okay.
To then try and work on their game and their craft to put them down the VFL and cut their teeth.
Okay.
A dedicated backline coach is someone who works with all the backs, and then you have a development coach under the backline coach who will work with them more extensively, the younger kids.
I've got the list up here.
Hit me.
So, yeah, Adam Simpson, senior coach. Gavin Bell, general manager. We've got a forwards coach, midfield coach, assistant coach, Waffle Eagles coach, and then three development coaches.
No backline coach. Isn't that wild?
That is. So Tom Morrison is his name, is the development coach for the backs.
Crazy. Crazy, crazy. Let's get a backline coach, Eagles. Come on. Now they've got to roll into the Marvel against the Dogs in the pre-graveyard shift on Sunday, and that's just going to be an absolute slaughtering because they don't have a backline coach.
You know what the irony of this is? I'll put the I'll show everyone the graphic when I edit this up. It's got a really, really nice, one, two, three, four, five columns with all the photos, and there's literally one space missing.
Yeah.
That would be totally
what's going on, West? We didn't figure it out. Why don't you have a backline coach?
That is insane.
Especially with the amount that's coming in there. I think you want to be coached on how to maybe defend this fucking thing. It's crazy. Crazy. You guys reviewed it too here. Lockie Viggs, official request for West Coast only to play one quarter. That's fair. And Jake Wilkie, West Coast need a couple of weeks in the twos. Mate, you need that and you need a backline coach as well. Quick break here. I don't ask for much, but I am asking you guys to please do me a favor and follow, subscribe on whatever platform you're listening on right now to join the community, join something we're building here. When you do that, it helps all of us here build an amazing show for you guys. It allows us to get more guests because they see the ratings and the follows and all these numbers and they go, wow, I don't want to miss out on this opportunity. So please, takes 2 seconds to do it right now. Obviously, if you're not driving, if you are driving, pull over and do it. Follow, subscribe. Thank you so much. Let's get into our Gatorade Team of the Year, brought to you by Gatorade, the great people at Gatorade, the official sponsor of the Gatorade Lids Off Team of the Year. This week for round two, we had Wanganeen Miller nominated, the Bont, Tom Stewart, and Papley. 14% of you said that you wanted Papley, 15% for the Bont. Tom Stewart was 29%. And with a whopping 41%, Wanganeen Miller joins the Gatorade Lids Off Team of the Year. So welcome to the team, mate. Very welcome addition. And I love that where he's in. Yeah. Just thread and kicks left, right, and center. He's only kicking to Sarong and Rao at the moment. But when he gets a full team around him, is going to be a welcome addition.
Yeah,
it's 100%. Great. It's great. So with the Gatorade Lids Off Team of the Year, we are actually going to get our own, you don't know this yet, maybe you do. We're going to get our own official blazer for them or jumper, which is going to have Gatorade on it. It's also going to have DDF, Lids Off Team of the Year, something that each player gets. And we're going to send it out to them and they can wear it like a pride of honor around town.
Has to be a blazer.
Yeah, blazer. A cool blazer. Do you reckon we go blazer?
Definitely.
Yeah. We got a cool design as well. Definitely. Maybe we get the fans to vote on the design. I get three designs mocked up and then the fans get to vote on which design they like the best.
Do you like it when places go, will you design it and then we'll pick the winner? So they can design it. And then also then that means we don't have to do any work.
Yeah, if that means less work for us. If you guys have a design, if there are any designs are listening out there and want to design the blazer for us, you are more than welcome to do that for us. I also had something else to tell you guys and I forgot what it was. It was in my head and now it's gone. No, it's not Collingwood being 0-3. I already told you that a lot. I can't remember.
Was it
I can't remember.
The Jack Jumpers are through to match
you were there. How was it? Tell us how you were there. Tell us about your carry on in the NBL.
Yeah, someone swore at me.
What'd you do?
Well, I said, our house.
Yeah, at Melbourne. In Melbourne.
In Melbourne. And then I said, it's Jack Kane Arena, not John Kane.
So disrespectful.
Yeah.
You got kicked out. So the Jack Jumpers are 3-1.
2-1.
Up 2-1. Win next game.
Done. So if we win on Thursday night, done. It's a game of like four.
What is Jack Jumper?
It's a like a bull end.
It's a bull end?
Yeah.
Why is it called a Jack Jumper?
That's just what we call them in Tassie.
Oh, you guys are doing some things down there.
Yeah, and they could jump up to your waist.
They attack you?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That's interesting.
Yeah.
So my dog has fleas at the moment, so there's that.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Is he
He's okay. It's just, it's more annoying. Like the scratching at night is very, very annoying.
Yeah.
Very annoying. So we're going to try and work on that. But that's just some more info that I wanted to tell everyone about. We're back on Thursday for the massive preview, a big game where the Pies, we're going to dissect that and see who wins that one. But thank you all for listening. We love you and we will see you on Thursday.
Imagine what you could be buying instead. For free and confidential support, call the number on the screen or visit the website.